Blog Talk Radio.
Don. Tonight's topic is cleaning out your closets. I'm going to read two paragraphs of another Dylan song, and then we're going to bring John and Don in. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won, you want me to believe. But I see through your eyes and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten the triggers for others to fire, then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled, fear to bring children into the world. For threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed, you ain't worth the blood that runs in your vein. How much do I know to talk out a turn? You might say that I'm young. You might say I'm unlearned. But there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Those lyrics are from Masters of War. John and Don, you're in the house.
Good evening, folks.
Hi, everybody.
What's
going on? Hello, Dave.
Hey.
Well, John and Jane had a moment of truth this weekend, and Don's will probably fruition in the next 60 minutes. So the topic of the show is cleaning out your closets. getting right with yourself, your peers, and God, whoever that may be, your higher power. Are you guys happy I played Bob Dylan instead of John Yoder?
I like Dylan most of the time.
I like Yoder. Yoder and Dylan are, they're the same people.
Really? Maybe
yeah.
Bob Dylan evolved into John Yoder.
No, it was John Dylan and Bob Yoder at first, and then Bob Dylan said, I want the Dylan name, but I want to keep Bob.
Yes.
That's
we're
cute.
Cousins of, we're distant cousins of Keith Green, too.
There you go.
I'm Brittany's cousin.
Well, then I'm coming.
Anyways, John
over,
and I got into a unyielded conflict this weekend. I'm not really even sure how it evolved, for that matter. But I felt like, in a way, he had kind of some hidden resentment towards me. And then also, it had something to do with a conflict on a job years ago that didn't involve us directly. It involved me to a manager and him to a manager, but the way it played out differently for each of us. But basically, I just thought, okay, well, it's election season. I threw my hat in 6 days ago. It's official, Jane Hammerstrom Hoffman for school board. So now I have to clean out my closets, but it's B-rated on the air, so keep that in mind tonight. Don't pull any stunts, Don.
Who, me?
John, I can trust a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, we need to let the black stallion run wild and free. This is America.
Who's
and
black
how about
stallion?
The semi-reserved Latino?
Or it could be the Coco Stallion. How about that?
There you go.
John, Don, I witnessed my first Black Lives Matter incident Friday night.
At night is the best time to witness it. Go ahead. What was it?
So you guys really want to hear something which I consider a trip. So it's been in the high 80s for 6 to 7 days in Duluth, and Zach and I went on a walk around 11 p.m. Well, we went to Walgreens just to get a doodad or two, like a box of cereal. And there was a black mom, about 40 to 45, her 18 to 20-year-old son, and she forgot her ID, and she just brought a small roll of cash, and she was trying to buy cigarettes. And this white cracker behind the counter, who was about 21 years old, refused to sell her cigarettes because she didn't have her ID. So this went on for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then she said, I'll just have my son buy it. And then the store manager said, no, you can't have your son buy it because then I know he's going to give it to you. So now, keep in mind that she's 40 years old. So he was saying that her 20—do you have to be 18 to buy cigarettes or 21? I think it's 18.
It should be 21.
Yeah, so he graduated from high school. He's going to college in Tennessee in 2 weeks. So then the store manager refused to sell it to them because he thought that they were going to transfer the cigarettes from one hand to the other. So she says, I know a lady in the back. She knows me personally. Can you call her up here so I can buy my cigarettes? Finally, reluctantly, he did, and the older lady name was June, and she sold her the cigarettes willingly. But we had to sit there for over 5 minutes while they fussed, and basically he discriminated against her. She was very young-looking, but she was still 40.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, they can't prove unless he admits that he didn't sell them because of her color. They can't prove that race.
Well, I know.
Was
I think he was just trying to be anal about the rules, but obviously, I mean, let's just say face value, it's mother and son. There was no reason to doubt her. The way that you could see how they were connecting to each other, they weren't girlfriend and boyfriend. They weren't young people trying to pull a stunt. I mean, it was just obvious to me that he wouldn't let her off the hook no matter what.
Now you know me.
The thing is, yeah.
No, go ahead.
If it was you guys behind the counter, how would you handle it? Would you be that afraid of being a clerk in a store and breaking the rules? I mean, I can see them carding someone between 18 and 25, but someone who's in their 40s who just happened to forget their ID late at night? You know, I don't know. I just, for me, it seems like a weird situation.
But there's a couple of ways to look at it. One, so we're talking a white guy just kind of making it difficult for a person of color. Now, here's a question. Cigarettes are a known killer. So he's protecting her from buying poison that will kill her. Some people might say he's a hero. However, she has the freedom and right to poison herself if she does. Now, another thing to consider, maybe he sold some without using protocol and got reamed by a supervisor, or maybe they got busted one time for selling, you know, without checking the ID, and they could lose their license. I have a feeling he just wanted to be anal and make a scene. I don't know about the black issue, but he might have been pissed off that it was a minority.
If it was a 40 to 45-year-old white mother with her white kid, it's hard to say if he'd behave in the same way. I doubt it.
Myself, I would probably, you know, if she made a scene about it, I'd probably say, here, let me hold here for sit to the side for just a second. Let me get these other people going. Let me call my manager, get them over, and let's get you taken care of. I used to always say, you know, the customer's always right. If there was a mistake, I would say, you know, let's just assume we're wrong because our job is to protect you from yourself. So why assign fault? Why argue about that? I just want to get you taken care of. Because usually customer, they want to have a scene who is right and who's wrong, and they want to go 20 minutes over that kind of stuff. I'll go, you know what? The customer is always right. Let's get you taken care of. So
she could have, there's three things, flight, fight, or freeze. She could have gotten mad and left the store. She wasn't belligerent. She tried to negotiate with him 5 minutes before she decided. She asked him to call the manager finally after 5 minutes. It wasn't like, I want to see the manager now. She did it after about 5 minutes. So
it would have been interesting,
I don't know,
to see
just,
how he would have responded to
it. I didn't really
pretty,
like witnessing it. The only admirable thing the white guy did is stood his ground. I mean, I don't think I could be that nervy at age 20 or 21 to older customers. I don't think I'd have the guts.
What do you think,
Don?
Well, yeah, hi. Yeah, no, Jane, darling, wonderful woman. Again, you may be jumping to conclusions a little quickly. And you know I'll be the first one to brand a racial incident what it is, a racial incident. But in this particular case, I've got to remember that one of my jobs is that I'm a store clerk. So we ID whenever we feel discretion. And then we do it as courteously and professional as possible while using a few choice cuss words just to ease the tension. And we will make sure that we get the money, period, in all circumstances. So this is another instance, if it were true, if your perception, Jane, were true, this is another incident where there is a person, usually a person who is an oppressor in some way or another, would rather shoot themselves in the foot or shoot themselves in the heart and everybody else so that they don't get their way. You know, it's like
if there was any suspicion she was under 18, if I were that clerk and I was young and it was my first job, I could understand. But unless he was half blind, I just don't see how that would ever happen, that he could really think that she was underage.
Well, here's the question. What policy on that is it? Do you have to have ID unless they look significantly over 30 or 40?
It's discretion.
There's some people 40 that look 20. I know
it's
some people
discretion.
That are 20 that look 40.
She did look around 22 to 25. That's
well,
the whole
borderline.
Thing.
Now, somebody would have to prove that that was her son, and then he would have had to bring out proof of his age.
Well, I think he had his ID, but then the clerk said, he's just going to give the cigarettes to you anyway.
Right. And that's an assumption that the clerk made, unless she said, she said, buy me the cigarettes. I'll have my son buy me the cigarettes. So then the clerk, that's it. See, explicit. I will have someone buy something for me. And so that a clerk has that discretion to
tell. Don, what's the consequence of, say, you sell to someone without checking ID and say they are not of age? Do you lose your license? Do you get a penalty? Do you get fined?
No. First offense will generally be a fine and a warning. A second offense will be some kind of, I believe, misdemeanor, and the business will be warned. And then third offense, I believe that this is Nevada, and I'm not sure what other states, but third would be potential business license loss and
revoke of a business license.
Some kind of mandatory, either misdemeanor or felony, and fine.
I'm not trying to blow this out of proportion. It is what it is. I was shocked at how long it went on and on and on. Like, when is this going to be over? I just want to buy my item.
You got to understand one thing. It's a 21-year-old kid in Duluth. You might be right.
I felt like if she's an adult, he really didn't read. He was too argumentative. He could have said, just a minute, ma'am. Let me check in the back. I'll see if there's a way you can buy your cigarettes without an ID. But no, he stood and argued with her like she was dirt.
Okay, well, that made me... That might have made the difference. That might push it to where you might be right.
Okay,
certain minorities too. They look younger than what they are. I see guys in the gym that are African American. They're 50 to 60 years old, and they look like they're 35. Another issue. As far as what you may appear to be a certain age may not be. And again, the guy's trying to cover his butt. He really doesn't care what there's a rule. She needs ID. If you're going to go buy cigarettes, right, bring your freaking ID, whether you're black, white, or green. Now, on the other hand, to make a big scene about it, you could have diffused it. You could have been cool. So maybe he had issues with her. Maybe he had five people before then that pissed him off, and he's unloading on her. A lot of backstory that we
know. But the other clerk named June knew her. She knew her son was going to Tennessee in a few weeks. She was asking about his off-campus housing. So I guess this lady buying the cigarettes just assumed she was going to run into somebody she knew. Now she knows different. Next time she'll come prepared. I don't know. Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say, John might be right. You shouldn't be smoking anyway.
Well, I can tell you this.
Okay, well, the whole thing, it was a minor incident. I didn't see anyone getting beat up in an alley or anything like that. Life goes on. But it was shocking to me in the sense that I never saw it close up before.
It happens all the time, babe. It happens all the time.
The thing is, I'm 56, and I got lots of gray hair, and I got wrinkles and things. And there's no way I can pass for 21. But when I was 40, 42, before I had any gray hair, I would get seriously carded. Not just carded, but like, you know, I'd say, oh, yeah, I'm my 40s kid. And they go, no, no, I need to see ID. It's like, you're kidding. No, no, you're not getting in until I see ID. And I can only tell you after that happens once or twice, you always pull out your ID. You don't even, you know, think about it. So what I'm saying is she's bought cigarettes before, which I'm sure she has, then she knows the game. So that's all I'm saying is, like, she's, you know, she wasn't born yesterday like, you know, a 21-year-old kid. Like, you get carded every time you buy cigarettes or alcohol, unless you look really old.
And that is becoming normal in terms of alcohol and cigarette tobacco transactions, is that in some places you card pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess, you know, it was just me and Zach. We were having a nice little walk. We forgot that we needed cereal.
Who's that?
And I just, he lives with us this summer. He's a Latino, a 20-year-old Latino kid who is my son's best friend.
Right, that's Lolo's best friend. Okay.
Yeah, so right. He lives with us for 4 months out of the year.
Okay. So, for the most part, cleaning the closet, some people sometimes don't let you clean your closet. That's what this is about. That kid is
this has nothing. Cleaning your closet has to do with your, it's kind of like a moral cotton swab.
Right.
Where you
right,
go, you take a personal moral inventory and decide what things you need to change in your life. And the only reason I brought that story up first is it was an icebreaker. It has really nothing to do with the main topic.
Then I'm breaking the ice. The problem is that the kid was probably raised in an environment where the N-word was freely used and respect for minorities was disclaimed. And so he doesn't allow anybody, either minorities or whites or whomever, to clean their own closets because he continually tells them to put it back, to stay the way it is. Status quo is the best. You don't need to clean your closet because the old way works. That's where you don't have, in terms of your topic, sometimes, and here I am being a contrarian, and again, you aren't able to clean your closet. And sometimes that's a good thing because years down the road, you can find things that you never would have kept or imagined and that goes with you as a companion for the rest of your life. But there are a lot of people.
Well, let's start out. Let me show you an example of what I'm trying to say tonight. So now that I'm running for public office, I have to – now we can keep it G-rated, you guys. I'm running for public office. I've had to confront myself. I went to my 12-step meeting twice last week, and I have to confront myself about how the world perceives me versus how I perceive myself. In other words, there are times where I think I'm smart. I command a lot of knowledge in different areas. I've worked a lot of different jobs, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm accomplished. I have to look at myself with the eye of scrutiny the way the public will look at me the next 3 months. Whereas John, I'll let him talk for himself, but he might think more, maybe his issue of the day is time management, having to divide his loyalties between two different jobs while still trying to pursue music. So we all have different things that are on our plate, but then other minor things is like how we treat others. Like, do we get mad in traffic every time someone cuts us off? Do we get impatient in the store like I might have been the other night in the story we just mentioned? Are we an underachiever? Like, we've been stuck in one job for 5 years and we don't want to go any further because it's convenient. So those are the types of things I'm talking about, like cleaning out our closets.
And some people don't let you clean out your closet. For it, to wit, you're going to be running for office. There are some skeletons in your closet. There are going to be some people who will possibly find them, and then we're looking at your closet not being clean because you've got to either shut the door real fast or you've got to clean them up. You've got to clean it and tell it and just be transparent. So
I will do that, but just please don't name specifics if you don't mind. Now, the thing is I'll start with myself and then you guys can go next. So I've been in a 12-step meeting for a year and a half to 2 years. I've only had therapy once in my life when not Alexis Hoffman died on Christmas Day, but I had a stillborn in 1986, a six-month-old baby. I lost her at 26 weeks, and I went to therapy for about 8 weeks after that in Illinois.
That's fine.
Yeah, and then I'm sure I've been through other loosely based therapies. Like I went to, not really a therapy, but I went to Compassionate Friends, which was a group of people who lost kids when Alexis died at age 21 months. But the thing is the 12-step program, as Don probably knows, is set up so that you have to go through 12 steps. You have to start out with just the simple things like what went wrong in your life. Then you do a personal moral inventory. Then you have to meet with a priest or pastor. And in our class we had 40 questions we had to answer, and then we had to confess them to the pastor. And then the 6th, 7th, and 8th step was like more progress, and then the 9th, 10th, and 11th was like aftercare. So basically it's a 12-step program where you straighten yourself out and you confront your demons so you don't repeat your behaviors. Basically the final goal is not to repeat your bad behaviors. So within those range of steps, when I first started the group, I wanted to run away. I didn't want people telling me what to do or how to do it. I didn't want to listen to all the advice I had to hear. I could absorb about 50% of it. But I had a tendency to joke too much in group and make jokes, and people didn't think I was serious. So then as time marched on, I became more mature. So I got better, but I still have a long way to go. And as John and I mentioned in our conversation yesterday, there was a time in my life where I used to say dumb things a lot. It was either for attention or just comedy or joking. I'm not really sure what my complete motive was, but it was a habit. So with that, I want to pass, and somebody else could go.
Go ahead, John.
Wow. Well, I think everyone's got stuff in our closet. I think that pretty much it's more a matter of who gets caught and who doesn't, who's more careful to conceal things. There's certain levels. Some people are really bad. Other people, it's just things you think, or it's little things that we can cover up. So I think it's more an issue of having compassion towards someone when they do slip up. I remember going to our church and talking to my pastor and just giving him real support. And one of the things I told him, I said, I'm not here for you when things are good. I'm here for you when things are bad. You know, I could find out that there's a scandal about you or you did something really, you know, immoral or wrong. I'm still here for you. I mean, it doesn't mean I encourage you to be immoral. But it just means I'm not going to be this person that the next day, you know, you're off my friend list and I won't talk to you anymore. We're imperfect people. We all are. And the purpose of Christianity and of having some kind of faith in God is the idea of forgiveness, of restitution, of becoming born again, having a new start. And anyone who points the finger, I think you'll find out you got four fingers pointing back at you. So it's good to tread lightly when people mess up in life, because it usually comes back to the next time we'll need mercy. And I always tell people, do you want justice or mercy? Always ask for mercy, because justice will get you 30 to life, you know?
That's funny you mentioned that, because I read an old friend's blog today, and he said that one time him and I were in downtown Minneapolis and we were going to Glam Slam, a Prince club. So John can probably figure out which friend it was. But It was in the 90s, in between the time I had another child before I had Lauren. And I made that friend of mine that I just mentioned, I made him go back to the trunk of the car to get our leftovers from Chi-Chi's to feed a homeless guy. And I said, you have to have mercy on your brother. And my friend wrote in his blog that he never thought about having mercy on people. He thought it was an old-fashioned word. So it kind of touched me that blog's about 4 years old, but it's still a nice thing that he wrote. So anyway, I guess, you know, cleaning out your... John deals with a lot of people at his church at different stages in their life. He helped, John, you helped that lady out with that divorce. So you're often not on the receiving end, but the helping end. I guess if you were to, you weren't, thank God you're not a conservative. Like, what if you would say, like, I'm not going to feed that lady today that I feed every Sunday because she's homeless and it's her fault she got that way. You know, like, I mean, there's a lot of mean-spirited people out there nowadays that just automatically blame people when they're in a situation.
Yeah, I think I have to have a little more compassion towards people in general. I think for, I always look
but
at...
But you do.
The book of James talks about people to have, you know, kindness and compassion. It's this pure and undefiled religion, whereas a real pure type of faith is when you help orphans and widows in their time of need. So that's what I always look at. When I see a guy that's 25 years old, able-bodied, standing there asking me for, you know, money in front of a 7-Eleven or a Denny's, I do tend to hit the off switch. Like, I'm not that compassionate. And only because in L.A. you get hit on every 20 seconds, you know, when you go out,
right.
Sometimes it'll be the same person you've seen for 2 years saying they need money to get a ride to San Diego or something. And you go, no, you're not. You're going to take that for alcohol. I see you every week here, you know. But if it's orphans, young kids, you know, divorced people, old ladies, stuff like that, women in distress, I like helping them. The others, I'm a little bit less compassionate.
Yeah, I am going to read that quote that he wrote a Bible verse in his blog, but keep talking while I'm looking for it right now, okay?
No.
Here it is. I found it. Okay, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels unaware without realizing it. Hebrews 13:20. So this is what my friend wrote. I first visited Minneapolis in 94 to see my friend Jane. She lived in Madison, Wisconsin, and we drove to Minneapolis to go to see Prince's Glam Slam Club downtown. Beforehand, we ate at Chi-Chi's. We had a lot of leftover food we took with us. We took the food to the car to put it in the trunk and go somewhere else. As we walked to our new destination, a tall black man wearing black pants and a white Hawaiian shirt asked us for money. I dismissively told him no and kept walking. Jane hung back and said something to him. I kept walking. She yelled for me and told me to go to the car with her. We were still close. She said she was going to give our leftover food to the guy. I said something about not caring or whatever. As she closed the trunk of the car, she said, "You have to show mercy on people." I remember thinking it was weird hearing that phrase in general in the modern day. Mercy was always something I equated with kings to their subjects or a court system. It seemed outdated to my young 25-year-old mind. Over time, I began to realize what she meant, and I understood it. Don't you think that's powerful?
Did you mention the part where you got the guy's phone number and dated him the next weekend?
And then they got married 3 months after that.
Kiss off, John Yode.
Uh-huh.
No,
you said it. This was a B-rated show. You were making us B-rated right now. You don't tell John to kiss off in a B-rated show. Now, if it were C-rated, you can tell him all kinds of stuff. But B-rated, no.
So, Now, in this, now here's
you guys
want
to say hi to my sister from Los Angeles? Oh, she just ran away.
Is it Joan?
Yeah. Joan is in the house from San Pedro, California.
Wow.
I said California, like Arnold, California.
The good sister.
She's the skinnier one who makes more money.
Yeah, well.
Here's a question. Someone's panhandling. You give them a dollar. Are we helping them, or are we saying to them, you know what, don't get a job. Just stay out there in the street because you can keep getting money to hustle. Now, it's a tough line because I kind of go, if it'll help them move forward, I want to help them. But if it's enabling them to, you know, like, why work? If I can just stand here and keep getting, you know, it's not a glorious life, but if I can get by without having to work a job, you know, maybe I'll just take the handout. I don't know. I don't know anyone like, well, I got some handout, and now I'm going to go and get a job and face responsibilities. It's more like, well, who's the next person to you know, sponge off of? It's hard. It's a tough line. Some people say tough love. I kind of lean that way. But I don't mind if someone empties their pockets and gives them some money. I just think they're not going to leave. They're just going to stay there and hit the next person for more.
Well, the thing is with you, John, where you live, it is a crapshoot. Like, when we worked on by SOS, I used to see this guy dancing every day. He dances down by Jack in the Box where you get on the 10. He danced like a happy Irishman, and I think he was Irish because I heard him talk. He danced for money. And
you
know what?
If someone makes me laugh or they do something really cool, I will actually, like, pull out, a couple bucks because it's like, you know, you did earn it. I mean, you offered something. I hate just giving things. I like when people earn something. I'll throw it this way. What I used to do around that is I would say, listen, I won't give you money, but I'll buy you something. I'll buy you a sandwich. And the funny thing is the first 15 or 20 years I would do that, no one would take me up on it. But over the last, 5 to 10 years, people started taking me up on it. And the funny thing is they would
Are you serious?
The street people would get – and I would go in and buy them a, you know, Jumbo Jack or something. The funny thing is half of them wouldn't be thankful. They would be like, oh, can you get me some fries? And then I also want a Big Gulp or a this or a that. And I'm like, I'm starting you off with the burger. You can work your way up with someone else. I just want to make sure you don't starve to death. You know, I'm not government assistance here. But the funny thing is those people weren't thankful. They weren't like, oh, thank you so much. I just appreciate it. They're like, you're not going to buy me more? And that's the kind of stuff I really didn't groove on at all.
Well, nobody wants to think that it was a waste of time, like if they're just going to mooch off you.
Well, you know that panhandlers average, true professionals, average over $60,000 to $75,000 a year.
I did read a story in L.A. once about one homeless person that averaged $700 a day,
right,
which I thought was preposterous.
You're not giving people credit. That is a profession. If you notice, I called it a profession. Panhandling has been done since day one, day two. They had to screw first. And panhandling is one of the oldest professions. And you have
Don,
to give
Don, I'm
people,
not that naive. I lived in L.A. 17 years. My friend Daria told me that on Christmas Eve she dresses down and she goes and panhandles in front of stores on Christmas Eve.
Why are you bringing the panhandling up? Because it is what it is. Because
I was just bringing it up in a relationship to what Don does.
Well, wait a second. Let me give some clarity. Example, you're going on the bus system, and there's a person they're getting on, or they're going to get on, and they've got 25 cents or 50 cents. They don't have the full fare. And they go, oh, man, you know, I'm short. Can you help me? Something like that. Or you're in a place in your neighborhood, away from mainstream, and someone is stuck. They walk up to you and go, oh, you know, I need money to make a call or whatever. I'm cool with that. But it, professional panhandlers, they're hanging out in front of, you know, busy places like by the ocean, the pier, downtown. They're by a busy Denny's or something. They're looking for tourists who have money, and it's like they're hanging out there. That's not a person that's down out in their luck. They're just going, this is where the money ticket is. I'm going to prey on people's guilt, as compared to, you know, like when you and I get stuck. Like, there have been times I went to the gas station and I didn't have a dollar on me and I just needed to put air in my tire. And it's like, I, you know, I have a credit card, but I can't use that. For, and I'll go to someone and say, listen, can I just borrow 50 cents? And I'll give you something. I'll give you a gum. I'll give you a pen. I'll exchange services. I'm not a panhandler. I have to get air in this tire. You can see my tire is flat. Stuff like that. Yeah, I'm all game for it. But when it's a pro, pros hang out where they know they can make money, and it's a setup. And that's where I don't buy into that stuff.
Okay.
A couple times in Duluth, people at the gas station say, hey, I don't have enough gas to get home. And I could tell who was bluffing and who wasn't.
Well, all I know is that you got to look at that lifestyle. Because then you don't even have any closets you have to clean. You're just transparent. You're there. When I say transparent, everybody knows what you're there for, what you're there doing. They may not know what you're there for, or what the ultimate goal is. They could be actually looking for money for a sandwich, or looking for money for because they're homeless or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is that they are living a free life. Their life is unencumbered by societal responsibilities, regulations. They are out there doing their thing on a daily basis, and they are generally happy and closet free.
Except for they, on the nights they can't find a hotel, they don't get to shower. They have to go to a local church or gospel mission to shower. I wouldn't call it exactly carefree.
No, you can go to any public bathroom. You can go to McDonald's. You can go anywhere, do your bird bath, and you're just as fresh as a newborn baby.
And the thing about it is you choose the price of admission. I cannot work.
Yeah, exactly.
I can say, listen, I have shattered my leg. You know, and I can tell them just very honestly, I shattered my leg in a concert. I took one day off because I had to get x-rays and a cast put on. The next day, I was back at work. I had a friend pick me up. I did my own laundry. I did my own dishes. No one did anything for me except transport me, and I paid them gas money. I got on a cart and I rolled myself like a little big glorified skateboard.
Good God.
When I had appendix surgery, this was like 4 years ago. My appendix, you know, blew out. They took it out. I was back at work the next day. And I remember going into work, and they're like, what are you doing here? I said, I can work. You know, I mean, I'm not going to run a marathon, but I can sit down and be in pain here or at home. I might as well work. And they, I kid you not, one of them said, my aunt just had appendix surgery. She's going to be out for a month. I said, well, you know, I should probably take 2 or 3 weeks off. People milk it. But, again, when people say I can't work or I'm sick, and I can't get up and do this and that. It's like if you put a gun, I tell them this way, if you put a gun to your head and you still can't get up and do it, then you're really sick or you really can't work. But if I put a gun to your head and you can get up and you know, start hustling and doing stuff, you're not unemployable. You're not sick. You're just milking it. Or, you know, you're not motivated enough or desperate enough to hustle.
I watched a movie last night called Mr. Holmes. It was produced by the BBC with Ian McKellen, and he was an invalid, but he wouldn't admit it. And 2 times he fell out of bed and broke something, but he wouldn't ask anybody for help. It kind of reminded me of that when you were talking.
Oh, I had, when I went to the doctor, a friend called me up and said, hey, $500, I have the doctor. You go in and see him, and you never work again for you know, 5 to 10 years. He'll write you up. He'll get the whole program going. And I'm like, you're kidding me. I said, no, I want to get back to work as soon as possible. That's my ethic. That's how I'm raised. I look at it like we're all like on an island. Imagine if we all just lived on an island and there's 10 of us. And my first job would be, does everyone have food? Does everyone have shelter? Does, you know, are we all safe? Okay, fine. Now, the first thing when I get up, let's start working on the water. Let's start working on the food, blah, blah, blah. If you have a guy sitting around going, well, if I can sit around and you know, John and Don and Jane, they're going to take care of everything for me. I'm just going to sit in the corner here and watch them collect coconuts for me. You'd go, after a while, or they borrow, like, can I borrow this and that, and they never pay you back. After a while, you're going to say, you know what?
Who's tracing the what?
We're throwing you off the island. We're ignoring you. And
okay,
forget,
you know what? You guys,
okay,
John, you could have found a cute girl to make you meals at least. You're not that resourceful.
It's true.
You could have found a cute girl from the church to make you meals, or even a cute girl not from the church. But you don't turn your charm on like that very often because you're self-sufficient.
You know, it's a sickness maybe with me. Now, some people, they do need help. So some people, they can't get out of bed. Some people, they need a helping hand. I always say, okay, some people want a helping hand. Other people want a free ride. I don't mind a helping hand. It's when people want the free ride.
You know, the thing is one time at that company we worked at together, there was a younger guy there who had only been there a few months, and I overheard him telling B that he got injured at home and that he had to go on disability for like a month. He didn't even get injured at the job. Like, he tripped over something, and SOS had to pay for his temporary disability. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous in my mind.
Right, and because if I had to pay for it, they might feel guilty, but because it's coming from a disability pool that we all pay into, it's kind of blind, and it's not specific. So it's, well, I'm just taking it from the pot. But the people working put the money in the pot. Like, I have a friend that goes to school, and she says, well, it's free. I said, no, I'm paying for you to go to school. I'm paying for it. You know, my taxes, I'm paying for that cop to watch your block.
You sound like my sister now when I took out student loans from CSUN. She said, those are my tax dollars.
Oh, yeah, and I would get pissed when the cop gives me a ticket. It's like, I'm paying you to protect me, and you're giving me a ticket?
Did you know I got injured twice on the job at my new job. I got pushed down the stairs by somebody, and then I also got pricked with a needle with someone who had I don't want to say it on the air, but they had something where I had to go get tested. It wasn't HIV, though. So I had to go to the hospital two times for workman's comp. But I didn't miss any work due to the activity.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like you, John. I have to be really sick to even miss a day of work.
Look at you. I love it.
Yeah, so I'm not living on the gravy train.
Ah, yes.
Donna, did you fall off the radar, or are you babysitting your grandkids?
No, neither one. I'm trying to listen to the stories that you guys are telling.
Okay, well, I did get, the last time I got injured, it was scary because I got exposed to a chronic disease. And it wasn't HIV, I'll just reiterate that. But I still had to go to the hospital for testing. So,
okay.
I guess, you know, like, I'm in a profession where I'm at risk. Other people do things that are even more tougher than me. Like, they work in prisons and they could get stabbed. So
right. You
have to kind of admire those people who are, they're in the crosshairs every day of people who might hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
So
my sucks. I can tell you that.
I'm not a martyr. You know, it's my job.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in prison, I'll tell you that.
I know a guy at work, he told me Saturday, I saw him at a picnic. He was riding his bike and someone ran into him, and he had to do desk duty for 2 months because he had to get stitches and his leg sewed up. So he kind of did the same thing John had to do at his office supply job. He didn't miss work, but he had to, he couldn't walk around or drive clients. He's a supervisor. So, you know, that was pretty nice that he got to do desk duty. He could have been on temporary disability. Other than that, all the rest of my closet cleaning I'm going to do alone. We've talked for 50. Have you ever seen that cartoon where someone's putting dental floss through their brain and they call it mental floss?
Nice.
You talking about Ren and Stimpy? Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah, something like that.
I think like, in Jane's closet, there's a bunch of happy little dancing black men, and we need to let them out.
You know, are you saying John thinks that
Jane,
I'm like a hot mama who likes blank activity? I'm just a celibate Lutheran on the fringe of disaster.
Wow.
Why are you on the fringe of the disaster if you're putting your hat in the ring mayoral race?
I'm not on the fringe
of
disaster, but I have I work 70 hours a week. I do 2 radio shows and I write articles. I have to manage my time, otherwise I'd fall apart. I swim once or twice a week. I have 2 boys to watch. I have to run to the store and feed them every other day because one of them eats me out of house and home, the other one doesn't. I have
so
a tough, busy life. It's busier than I've ever been. I'm busier now than I was at 35 or 45.
And wait till you get grandkids.
I know. I'm hoping Lauren doesn't learn about sex till he's 22.
Right.
You have no time for Wang Wang or to get jiggy or anything. You're just working.
I kind of want to have a foster kid, though. I think that would be a fun job. Like taking in a 12 to 15-year-old.
God.
Not a baby.
I think that would be a fun... You know, most people are happy to get their kids all grown up so they don't have to do that, and then that way they can have grandkids and just kind of... It's the fun work, you know. You pick them up, you have fun, you load them up with sugar, and then you toss them back to your kid, you know. So usually that's
you know,
more
Lauren,
fun than the whole...
Raising Lauren went by too fast, and I'm already having the empty nest syndrome, and he's still in the house.
So you need 2 or 3
I don't know.
Kids
I wish I could have 3 more years where he was 14.
This is true. Well, if he wanted to stay home till he was 40, would you be game for it?
As long as he didn't get in trouble, but no, I don't think it would be healthy. I think nowadays, I don't think kids should have to move out till they're 22 or 25. We're living in a tougher world, and I just looked at a survey the other day. Yale in 1960 cost about $3,000 a year. Now it costs like $43,000. College tuition has gone up like, God knows, 400 or 500%. So I don't mind if my kid lives here all through college.
Nice.
Don, how did your daughter make it through law school? Did she get any grants?
Grants, scholarships, and Pell Grants. Yeah, she's right in between 150 and 200,000 in the hole. So we're talking her closets won't be cleaned for decades. However,
that's pretty normal for a law or medical student. It's an average of 150,000 in debt.
Right. No.
Oh, by the way, you guys, Bobby Christina Brown died today.
All right. Then she doesn't have to clean
died.
Her closet.
She died. At age 22, she's no longer with us.
Yeah, but her parents were... her parents were some of the stupidest people on the face of the earth. So they brought in a kid, taught her how to do some of the things they did, and now she's dead because of apparently a greedy boyfriend.
Well, you know what? Whitney had a drug problem that she didn't control well, but the thing is,
Bobby had one, too.
Okay, well, I guess she didn't stand a good chance then, but all of Whitney's relatives, like Cece, her mother, are Christians. I mean, I think about half of it had to do with that she couldn't cope with her mother's death. Right?
No. She's just a 22-year-old baby with fetal alcohol syndrome.
John, don't know that.
No. I was just gonna say it's a like situation. I've got a brain freeze right now. What did they call it? When something's like something else. Anyway.
Like a phenomena?
No.
I've worked with people with fetal alcohol syndrome. They are forgetful. They can't remember things. They're very hyper. They can't sit still. They bounce all over the place. I would be able to tell if Bobby, she didn't have that type of behavior to the mass extreme.
All I was saying that's like a hypothetical. It's kind of like a hypothetical, but it's something else. But it's a hypothetical that's similar to fetal alcohol syndrome, where she was born into, you know, because Whitney was heavily into coke and alcohol, and she was out there at the birth of Bobby Christina. So
like a drug-affected child is what you're trying to say, sort
of. Drug-affected the child. Yeah, this girl...
Whitney had a system. She had a dealer that one of the tricks they would do is the guy would put her drugs in a pen and walk up to her and ask for an autograph, hand her the pen, she'd sign it and keep the pen. It's actually quite ingenious. But the thing about it is I think she kind of had the squeaky clean image with Clive Davis and was kind of mentored or protected in a sense, but she grew up and blew up. You know, she wanted to choose Bobby and kind of live the kind of that reckless lifestyle. And I don't think she was out of control before Bobby. I don't know. Does anyone know of the backstory?
I think it didn't happen until the second or third year of their marriage, but I don't know what year she had the kid. I don't think she had it the first year. I can't remember.
She definitely had a religious upbringing, singing in the church, and people that were pretty stable as far as her relatives. But when you run around with the bad boy, I mean, come on. I mean, Bobby Brown, you know, like Mr. Obscene on stage. You know, this guy's going to be banging his hoes and running drugs and going crazy. And you know, that's his prerogative. I mean, it wasn't even like a hidden thing. Like, this is my prerogative. And he's singing it and he's doing it. He's getting arrested. So off the top, you got a good church girl, and it's like she wants a bad boy, and you get bad boy stuff happen. You know, I don't know how you can cry wolf.
And then your daughter gets caught up and dies.
It's sad. I'm going to end the show with Bobby Christina singing an Adele song, Someone Like You. But do you guys want to end the show in the next few minutes, or do you want to keep going?
It depends on if we've answered your question. I keep trying to bring
it's
up
the
It's kind
of like
question.
A general topic night, you know, like we don't have to go on and on and on. We've talked to hours so far.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. I have company in town from California, so I think I should end it after our final conclusions and summaries.
That's fine.
They just got here 2 hours ago, as a matter of fact. I forgot to tell you guys, it's 86 here, and it's hotter than Beelzebub's kitchen, and I bought 2 fans at Walmart.
Oh, okay. So you're just
it just keeps getting worse and worse. The weather here, it's been the longest, hottest summer of my Duluth existence.
We should get an endorsement from Walmart on that one.
An endorsement from Walmart.
Yeah,
but we
Hammer
need to,
Time.
We need
sponsored to, by Walmart.
we will just go call Sam Walton and ask him. Then we
Don,
what do
you
tell?
Don, you go to Walgreens for cigarettes, and I'll go to Walmart for fans, and let's see what happens.
Well, Walgreens is prejudice, so I
well,
won't go to Walmart.
It was a joke, okay, based on what we talked about earlier tonight.
Yeah, no, these corporations are extremely prejudiced. That store clerk could have been working for a prejudiced owner. He had his own prejudices. There could have been a number of things with that scenario. But the bottom line is that the whole world is based on war and death and violence. And so love has no place. The scripture that you read and some of the other things are untrue because those who are in power don't want to promote love. They only want to promote violence and death.
Can we still get him as a sponsor, though?
Well, yeah, sure. No. I was at the NACP convention in Philadelphia, and one of the biggest things I was excoriating because I was constantly talking was the fact that our sponsors, major sponsors, are McDonald's, Dunkin' Donut, Wells Fargo, and... keep forgetting the fourth one, but these are all killers, and they're not one sponsor was worthy of being a sponsor to me of a major minority organization, especially if they're talking about the Trinity, which is the balance of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they take such terrible care of the bodies with this stuff, and it's just horrible. I can't even believe that they would take the money, kind of like the Koch brothers giving $25 million to the National United Negro College Funds. I would die if I were the United Negro College Fund. I would have told them to keep this money and go shove it. However, they took it.
Wow.
And now they're all running around smiling with black face and tap shoes, and everybody in the United Negro College system is happy. Not.
Okay,
I'm going to play the song, and then we can do the conclusion. Then you guys can comment on the song, okay? Here we go, little friend. Here we go, little friends.
Wow.
I've heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true, 'cause she gave you things I couldn't give to you. Old friend, why are you so shy? It ain't like you hold you back or hide from a lie. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, couldn't fight it. I hope that you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over yet. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. Do, don't forget me. Sometimes it hurts instead.
Her face looks so cute when she's saying it. But it wasn't, several people commented that she needs work.
Yeah. It was cute and decent. It was decent. You know, the problem always is how do you compete with Whitney Houston? And the funny thing is, I mean, you think about it, you know, how many genius people and multi-talented people have children that are better than them? It happens occasionally. In baseball, Bobby Bonds had his son Barry Bonds eclipse all his records. Ken Griffey Jr., and the son, again, surpassed him. But then there's a lot of other people, you know. I don't know if Thomas Edison had kids. Einstein, I don't think he had any kids. But I'm sure there's a lot of genius people. When you look at their offspring, you don't hear about, you know, them necessarily being better. It happens.
Yeah. She didn't put a... She was singing a cappella on her bed in her bedroom. I don't think she put a lot of effort into it. It was just off the cuff.
I don't think she was highly motivated to succeed in the music industry.
Well,
we don't have
in
to
one,
worry about it.
Yeah. And some, not all celebrity kids are. You know?
If you already have everything, why would you be motivated to want to, you know, have that drive to succeed when it's all there? I'm just saying,
well,
it would be very hard.
Rumor Willis does for Demi Moore. Kate Hudson does, Goldie Hawn's daughter. That other girl who just played Melanie Griffith's daughter played the lead in Fifty Shades of Grey.
There are a lot of kids who
are still motivated. Mm-hmm.
But think about that, too. The parents you mentioned...
You just had your mother and father saying, go do it. I'll get you in.
You don't hear too much about those other people being in rehab. I mean, maybe they have, but you don't hear them like consistently. Like, Whitney just could not get clean. And even, I think one of her last calls she made before she died was to her pastor. So she had a concept of trying to follow God, and she just could not break the cycle. You know, it was too much for her. Some of these other celebrities, they're pretty clean, or if they've had problems, they've kind of beaten them. Although Demi Moore's kids, they had someone die in the pool, and apparently the kids have regular parties there. So that story's not done.
Yeah, you're talking about the 29-year-old who died in Demi Moore's pool
just a couple of days ago, and
I heard about it. They were in trauma at the time, but apparently their family in general are party animals.
Right. Well, you'll find out in 5 to 10 years, you know, what the effect of that is.
Demi Moore's family, Don, with her 3 daughters. She's not married right now.
And what about it?
A 29-year-old died in their pool when they weren't home a couple days ago.
So Demi wasn't home.
No.
They weren't home, but someone had a party there the night before. I don't know what happened, but that man was found dead in the pool, similar to when someone found a person in William Shatner's pool. I think it was his wife. She drowned.
Right.
But
allegedly.
I guess it's not similar because she died of a different way.
I would say so. He had different motivation, Mr. Shatner.
Well, he didn't kill her. She overswam or something like that.
Right.
Well, who knows, really, but would you guys be creeped out if someone died in your pool?
Yes.
I would, especially if it was the housekeeper, I think, let a friend in. And there's some things about it that someone obviously wasn't watching things. It wasn't under control. And you can't blame that on Demi because she wasn't around, probably. And you even can't blame the kids. I mean, if unless you stand out there with a gun watching your pool every minute, if your housekeeper brings a friend over and lets them in without your knowledge, or, you know, and they're dumb enough to drown in your pool, I think it's kind of on the person that let them in and the person running around in the pool. If you can't swim or you're, you know, out of control, don't get in a pool. But,
well,
you know,
I'm sure the person was under the influence if it was after or during a party. So listen, you guys, well, I do have relatives here. I can mute myself and you guys can finish. My conclusion is follow the truth wherever it leaves you unless it's into a bathtub or pool. That's a bad one.
No, that's a wow. Okay.
Don, you're the most subdued I've ever seen you. Did your wife give you a lorazepam?
Oh, is that what they call it now? At least I don't have to wear condoms.
No, it's a drug to make people subdued. Jesus. It was.
Thank
it's not Viagra, old man.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jay. Thank you for clarifying that.
His wife gave the stallion some horse tranquilizer. He can't run.
Go. Faster. I am kind of at a loss of word because in this particular show, we've been everywhere and we've been nowhere at the same time. So my only final thoughts would be I hope that you guys get your shit together because the rest of the world is falling apart. I like that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Don, for the 2 cents. Oh, can you fly up here and be my campaign manager? Or,
you
John, can you come
week.
By bike?
Yeah.
John,
I'll
you can... Oh,
happy.
Forget it. John,
I'll
you can...
I'll be more than happy to come
over. Really? John,
yes, 50,
you could put your...
50, 60,
you could sell the title to your car, you could pawn it, and then 3 months later, you can buy it back.
Really?
You're both invited up here, but wait till it cools off a bit.
We don't have to. Right now it's 80 degrees here, and it's 100 degrees down where John's at. So
John, is it 100 down there?
It's warm in L.A., but fortunately I'm about 13 blocks from the beach, so I have to say for the majority of the world, I've reached utopia. You know, it's about as good as it gets out here. And I dog sit in Marina Del Rey, so I'm literally, you know, 10 yards away from the
water.
The whole water, yeah. So
my friend Ken used to have a boat in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, really?
He had a slip, you know, where he docked his boat.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm gonna sign off. John, what's your conclusion?
My conclusion is follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's filled with a closet full of men named Bruce, formerly named Bruce.
You have to put a frickin' Caitlyn Jenner joke in every... I watched 3 episodes of The Kardashians last night, and Courtney asked Bruce... what's your favorite type
it's
of women's clothing? Is it denim? Okay, go ahead, Don.
Well,
what's your conclusion?
I thought I made mine, but I might have to make another one after Bruce.
You said something about get your shit straight.
Yeah, get your shit straight because the rest of the world is falling apart around you. So that's one of the things when everything is in chaos, keep your calm, stay relaxed, and then your reactions are much sharper in your head. Your eyes are much clearer. Your reflexes are much faster. That's more or less what that means. You keep your head clear. You make sure you have all your I's dotted, your T's crossed, and then you can meet up face-to-face with any problems that come before you.
Amen. We're going to end the show with John's song, Turn It Around. So let's all turn it around. Good night, y'all.
We'll turn it around. Night, John.
God bless.
Night, everybody.
All right. Enjoy the lead.
The whole night without going in the penalty box.
Who
nice.
I did.
Don,
that,
I just unmuted you and John. Do you guys have any final words?
Is the show still on?
Yeah, because you guys helped. You stayed on hold.
I just wanted to hear a song. I'm getting
Can
ready.
I sing something to you?
Okay, my earplugs are
okay,
in.
Okay, here
up.
I go. Bittersweet memories, That is all I'm dreaming of. So I won't say goodbye. No, I won't stand in your way. And I will always love you, and I will always love you. Goodbye, Bobby, Christina.
Bye, Bobby, Christina.
God okay, bless. Good night, you guys. Love you all.
Good night. Love you,
love
too.
Love you. Bye.
All right, bye, John.
Good night, Mountain.